When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, White Sox fans. It's Crystal O'Keefe with episode 19 of Visiting Dugout, brought to you by the Southside Sox, a part of Fans First Sports Network. Today on the show, I have my great friend, even after this loss today, Rogelio Castillo, who covers all things Tigers. So, hey, introduce yourself, because you do so many things with this team.
Well, first and foremost, thank you for having me on. So I write the Tigers for Fansided, and I also co-own a website with my buddy Chris Brown, Tiger Minor League Report. And basically anything Tigers related that I try to cover in AL Central as a whole. I'm getting more outside of the Tigers a little bit, so it's been nice to kind of break it up a little bit.
Yeah, of course. So your Tigers are sitting comfortably in second. This is a terrible division, but they have a chance to win this division. So where are you at with this team? Like, are you feeling good, bad, don't know what to think?
I'm kind of been pleasantly surprised in a way, because going down the spring training, the Tigers, AJ Hinch had a mindset that this team was going to be better, and it was a completely different, since day one, it's been a different mindset altogether. Whereas last year, towards the end of the year, it was like a funeral sometimes after the games, because it was a lot of things just on paper didn't make any sense. These guys were not hitting power numbers, and then the whole fall after Avila. But this year, it's been a pleasant surprise. Like, guys like Zach McKinstry, who Cubs fans should be familiar with, if you would have told me he would be this excellent leadoff hitter hitting with power, I would have thought you were nuts. Because, again, this is why spring training numbers don't matter. He didn't have any power, didn't really do much with the Cubs anyways, and he's going out there and being such an effective hitter. And the Tigers take advantage of this really bad division. I mean, I thought that the White Sox this year, coming in this series, I knew the bullpen was going to be some issues, but it's just, man, some of the lack of effort, too, just today, especially today. I'm sure that was making you mad, but as a Tigers fan, I was actually looking forward to this series because, you know, Chicago's in a very strange place right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's not really a super pleasant place to be. So during this game, you tweeted out how the White Sox thought they were pitching to last year's Akil Baddoo. So how has he changed, aside from the obvious, like he can hit off Dylan Cease now, but did you notice like a change in mechanics or just anything else?
Yeah, so it started with him down in Toledo, because he did make the team out of spring training. And one of the things that he was working on offensively was trying to get his bat quicker to the zone. And it made small changes to his swing, but it was his approach to the plate. He's always been patient, but a little more patient this year. But also, yeah, in terms of outfield strength, he's been getting better about his outfield range, but it has been the ball, exit velocity has actually been higher. And so when he got called up from Toledo, the kind of some of the questions by fans were, when they looked at the box scores, were like, well, is he really doing anything? And the answer was yes. I mean, he was hitting above the average velocity you would see in the International League. So I think Akil Baddoo is a good, great story, because he was kind of lost at the plate last year. And the Tigers, he kept his patience. The Tigers worked with him in the offseason with several other players too, and it paid off today. That was a big backbreaker today against Cease, who Cease has loved Tigers hitters, and so it was good to see.
Yeah, he was the Tiger tamer for the longest time, but he was just way off today. So you do mention you cover the minor league a lot with Chris, who was just on the show, because I messaged both of you because I just adore both of you. So what like, is there anyone that we should really be on the lookout for that could be coming up into your system soon?
Well, I don't know what Chris said, but I will tell you it is Colt Keith. Outside of that, Trey Cruz has been coming into his own this year a little bit. And this was a guy who struggled when he got to Double A last year, but he's moved out to the outfield and to the tradition of his father, who played for the Blue Jays and the Rays as well. And his grandfather played for Houston. So outfield is a nice adjustment for him. Pitching-wise, it's been kind of because it seems like there's some regression with guys like Wilmer Flores and Tyler Madden. But the system, as far as infield talent, outfield talent goes, it's come a long way. It's not exactly there yet. Like, whereas the White Sox have Oscar Colas and some of these great Cuban players, and the Tigers still – they finally starting to get one with their own in Roberto Campos, who's at West Michigan right now, and he's off to a really good start at just 19 years old. So I'm hoping that the Tigers can start getting more of that international magic that that's why I've always – with Chicago, I've always admired how they've done that with – their ability to get international talent. Detroit has a long ways to go, but it's finally, think whatever God you believe in, that it's coming to fruition.
So with that, you know, with these good guys down in the minors and stuff, we are going to be approaching the trade deadline soon. So who is on the trading block for you, whether they're, you know, up in the majors now or someone that would, you know, bring back a nice return down in the minors?
Well, I think that if the Tigers, it really depends on how the Tigers are competing, because, I mean, Eduardo Rodriguez has that option. He got opt out this year. Same thing with Javi Baez. But to me, I don't think trading Javi Baez is a good idea, because the Tigers don't really have an alternative at short. And as much as Tiger fans give him crap for swinging at bad pitches and whatever else, Baez is still going to be a productive player no matter what. And he showed that last year when he was healthy. But as far as, and from what I've heard too, the Tigers are going to wait to the last possible minute to make any trades. But Rutter would be that one. In terms of prospect wise, they have a lot of shortstop prospects. So guys like Gage Workman, he could be moved for some more pitching help possibly. I'm not really 100% sure, because his playing time has been reduced down in Erie. And it really depends on what Detroit's long-term plans are going to be, because he's played third as well. So we shall see what they do with that. But they really need more pitching. Again, you never have too much pitching. Case in point, the reliever – who was that reliever that started when on Friday went and just blanked out the Tigers? I'm drawing a blank on his name now.
Oh, gosh, now you're –
yeah, that – yeah, it's 20, he's 29 years old, just made his
– oh, I'm so bad. Hold on.
This is the magic of editing.
I am just drawing the biggest blank. I am so embarrassed.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
No, it's fine. We'll come back. We'll edit something in. But yeah, he did. He came in and was actually halfway decent.
Oh yeah, that guy's slider was really good too.
Yeah. So with that, where do you see the Tigers sitting, you know, in July, but then again, perhaps in September?
That's a good question, because the schedule does not get any easier for the Tigers. They had a tough start to the season, but then they go into June. They now have the Rangers starting tomorrow, and then they go to Chicago. And they got Philly and Arizona, and then the Braves. So it doesn't get any easier So I think if the Tigers can stay afloat or stay near 500 in June, I think come July, I think you'll see the Tigers continue to make movements because they've done a lot of minor league signings. They've done a little couple. They traded for a double-A pitcher the other day from the Dodgers. They're still going to continue to churn out the internet, like in terms of farm players. But I think if the Tigers are sitting around 500 or in contention in July, then I think it'll be a very, very good summer around here. And that Detroit's going to try to, I think they're going to try to at least go for the division title because Minnesota to me has not proven to me anything outside of that. Joe Ryan's gotten better and Carlos Correa's starting to slowly improve, but I don't know. It just seems like a wide open year in the AL Central.
It is Jesse Schultens, by the way.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. I had to go back to Baseball Savant and I was like, I know his name and this is so embarrassing. So with that, do you have, you know, if you have to pick an MVP candidate today that's on this Tigers team right now, who are you selecting?
I would probably select Riley Green. Riley Green has finally come into his own. Today he came up with a big catch of Jake Berger. Jake Berger gave him the tip of the cap. He had that triple that started things, and he ended up scoring to tie the game. He has been exactly what the Tigers have lacked, which is a draft prospect, a top 10 pick that's actually delivering. The Tigers have not really had that. And truth be told, it is with Spencer Torkelson, he's getting there. But Riley Green, if this team doesn't have Riley Green, the Tigers they're in the same kind of classification as the Royals right now. It just wouldn't be exciting to watch. But Green has been the straw that stirs the drink, whatever cliche you want to use for it. He has been it, and it's been fun to watch as a fan of the Tigers, it makes me ecstatic. But as you know, being a writer, and you know how it is, Crystal, sometimes that people believe that because you root for a team, you can't be objective. But we both know that's not the case. Green is just a great story for all sorts of reasons, developmental and just a great asset to a team that really needed a win on the prospect side.
Yeah, I've definitely wrote some scathing reviews about players and games, so I completely get it. But yeah, he has been really fun, and I couldn't even be mad at that catch because that was just pure talent that he was showcasing, so I can't be mad. We're going to take just a very quick break to pay bills, and then we are going to talk about this upcoming series, the Deja Vu series. All right, and we are back. Now, let's break down this upcoming series. So the Tigers just won the 4-game series. How are you feeling going into this? And do you think that Tigers' success is sustainable?
The Rangers are really good on the road too. They're 19-10 on the road, and they just beat Baltimore. And Baltimore is one of the best teams in the American League. And they have an offense too that they've scored 11 or more runs almost 5 or 6 times. They've done it quite a bit, and the Rangers' pitching staff might be a little thin, but they still have Martin Perez, who still gets the job done. John Gray, and this is you knew when they signed that contract for Jacob DeGrom that this was going to happen. It was going to be a breakdown, and it's happened, but they still roll on. This is a deep team, and I think if the Tigers can take the series and go over 500, because right now they're 1 game under 500, then I think that suits well heading into Chicago, coming back to Chicago, where it's Tigers have actually kind of done better down there. But if this is going to be a real true merit for them, because Texas is so good. The Rangers, in terms of that division goes, the NL West is such a competitive, like you could talk about the AL East all day. Every team's over 500. There's really good offense. But the AL West with Texas, Seattle, and Houston has been a fun watch. I mean, yes, granted, are they beating up on Oakland? Sure. But this will be a good challenge for the Tigers as far as the bats goes. And is this sustainable? It depends on the pitching, because they are getting Tarik Skubal back soon. Skubal was very clutch down the stretch. And the million-dollar question is, can he come back to that same level? And if he can, that's where I think Detroit can really make a difference here in the second half of the season, because the pitching depth outside of – even with Bo Brisky coming back too, Reese Olson, who's down in AAA, he isn't ready to go. Wilmer Flores, Ty Madden, some of the arms that are down in AA are not exactly ready to go either. So this is where the pitching depth will come in question. And so I don't think – even with Matt Manning coming back too, he's still on – and who knows when he's going to be back. I think they're talking about maybe early July for him, if he's going to be even an effective pitcher. So Detroit has to – at some point, if they can sustain this with the pitching they have, then – it bodes well, because Chris Fetter is done. I mean, Chris Fetter is – there should be a statue of Chris Fetter at Comerica Park. I've said this on the podcast, and I'll say this again. There should be, or even a statue of him in the city of Detroit, because what he's done with his pitching staff, like Katz has done with Chicago, is chef's kiss.
Well, so I will look forward to that statue next time I'm up. Because I love coming up to Detroit. Detroit, I was just telling Chris, I love Comerica Park, and it's fun. I just enjoy the atmosphere. So what are your keys, you know, outside of pitching, like your keys and kind of your biggest threat on this team to once again take a series from the White Sox?
I think the biggest key is to get to their starters early and work the counts, because there's one thing about the White Sox is that if you get to their bullpen, it's over. I mean, I think they, or the Tigers have a chance. And so I thought coming into the season that the White Sox bullpen would be somewhat a source of strength. And I was sadly mistaken, because you can throw Joe Kelly out there how many times, but if you see Joe Kelly so much, it's just going to be a matter of time before they adapted. But I mean, I think the biggest thing is to get ahead of one, or just like I mentioned, the getting ahead of the White Sox starters, one, and two, taking guys like Tim Anderson out of there. Tim Anderson, I'm glad that Jose Abreu went to Houston. Let's just say that, for reasons that are very selfish, but Tim Anderson is still going to be Tim Anderson. And if you take Tim Anderson out of the offense too, right away, I mean, I think the Tigers can deal with Andrew Vaughn. Tim Anderson's a different story altogether, because he's that much of a dangerous player. And so neutralizing those two getting the bullpen, neutralizing Tim Anderson. And yes, if they stop Andrew Vaughn, that'd be great too. But I, honestly, it's just, I'm not even worried about guys like Luis Robert. As much as I love Yoan Moncada and Luis Robert Jr., I know, Crystal, I don't know what the frustration level is with those two right now in Chicago, but as a Cuban American, I'm also frustrated for them. I feel bad for them, because it just looks like they're not having fun. You can tell me wrong, but
they are very hot and cold. You know, Yoan started off really hot, looked really great. And then Luis Robert Jr. started off terrible, was benched to kind of humble himself, and then he was great. And now they're both just kind of hanging in there. Like, they can either be really amazing in a game, or they can just look completely lost at the plate. There's no gray area with those two.
Especially, I was just going to say, the one of the things that I was interested in also to get your feedback on is that, well, the Tigers right now, with Chris Illich being kind of quietly in the background with ownership, Jerry Reinsdorf has had himself a field day this year. So I was just kind of curious to ask you on your end, as somebody from afar watching him say, quote, you know, I'm paraphrasing, that being okay is all right and sustainable, that, I mean, I'm sure he insulted the intelligence of every single baseball fan in Chicago.
Yeah, he absolutely did. That is one of the worst quotes. And I, you know, I'm not paying to go see a mediocre team that they're like happy to be mediocre. Like, oh, we went to the postseason, but immediately lost. But we went to the postseason, so you should be happy about that. You know, it's offensive to the fans. It's offensive to, you know, these people that buy season tickets that are just going. And Jerry is okay and Rick is okay with them just being completely mediocre and not going after anybody big. You know, it's always, well, we had a seat at the table for Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. So, yeah, that front office, we are all kind of ready for, you know, heads on stakes at this point.
Yeah, because just for the sake of just, I think people don't even realize, like, to me, the Chicago baseball fans are much more, a lot more, I'm not trying to say anything about Tiger fans or anything, but White Sox fans, Cubs fans, both are so tuned in. And in terms of social media presence, too, it's amazing. You guys have all this great, you know, tournament with personalities and all this stuff. It's so cool to me, but I'm not trying to twist around your show about it. It's just, I've always been a fan of how White Sox fans have said, look, we're not venting because we're mad. Oh, this team sucks. And then you say that there's facts, and the way they approach intelligent, even the way you guys approach Steve Stone, who he's very, he has a love hate relationship with the Chicago fans. Coming into that series down a guaranteed rate field, I just think I'm actually thinking about going down there, because last time I went, it was the White Sox fans are just so passionate about the team. And it's just to see that kind of Detroit taking the wind out of their sails a little bit. I mean, yes, does it satisfy me a little bit as a fan? Sure. But I don't know. You guys deserve better.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of people in our corner anymore. I think Steve Stone has half of White Sox Twitter blocked. And the other half just, you know, I tweeted that, I think yesterday, I was like, quit saying that Jake Berger is a great runner for being a bigger guy. He is third on our team for like his sprinting alone. Like, you don't have to add the bigger guy in. You could just say Jake Berger is fast. So that's why he got there and beat out that throw, you know. So he's just, we're ready for him to retire. Oh, he's just, everything is just crazy. So we'll head out of the series and talk about, you know, just general thoughts on this season. I always like to find out who people think might go all the way, who might be the biggest underdog, and what has really surprised you so far in the season.
I think the biggest surprise has been, outside of what I mentioned with Zach McKinstry, has been the quietness and effectiveness of Eduardo Rodriguez, because a lot of Tiger fans heading into the season thought that they didn't really take his personal problems. And I've heard people on talk shows like, oh, he took a powder, not realizing that his family's priority. Family is everything. And he's come out there and has been exactly what Detroit needed and what they signed him for. And that's been a surprise. The emergence, really, I think another big surprise has been Will Vest, because watching him against down in Toledo after spring training, when he was hitting 91, 92 and getting shelled. Today he didn't have a good outing, but he's been much more effective. The Tigers have been giving some out of him, and guys like Chase Treve, these arms that were kind of, you know, scrapyard specials, if you will. That just shows about Chris Fetter and the 76ers process, if you will, but there is certain ways they're max weaponizing these arms. And so that's been a big surprise to me. And I think the biggest underdog part of it all is AJ Hinch. Since day one, he's been a calm, cool, collected presence in the clubhouse. When he's down there and like, we have to ask him questions that are, you know, the cliche questions, and he'll just kind of give us a look like, well, and then, but he's been more impatient with everything. And even the way that things were handled with Austin Meadows, and hopefully Austin Meadows is in a better place mentally. I think Detroit's handled that very well, very classy. And despite the fans sometimes saying really garbage things that are cruel and crass, which I'll never understand.
We get that a lot with Michael Kopech. I cringe every single time he gives up a run and someone says he is a head case. I'm like, that is not the language that we use for anyone dealing with anxiety, depression, any kind of mental illness. We do not call people head cases for giving up a single run when this kid, I don't think, has played a complete season as a starting pitcher. So yeah, we've dealt with that a lot, but I agree. They did a great thing with Austin Meadows. I unapologetically love Austin because, you know, I've been watching him back in his minor league days down in, you know, AAA Indy. So he's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and the Indians are off to a really good start too. But by the way, they are the Pirates. I don't know what even Altoona too, but the Indianapolis Indians. I know we've talked about our love for AAA baseball, so mm-hmm. It's good to see the Indians off to a good start.
They are, yeah. I've only been able to go to one game so far, but I had to go because it was Vince Velasquez facing off against Kyle Hendricks. And I was like, you don't see two major league starting pitchers both facing off at a rehab stint the same night. So I was like, if I can see both of these pitchers and I can spend under $40 on tickets, you have to do it. So I got to see both of them. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Hendricks has been for Iowa, he's been pretty effective too against Toledo. So
yeah. It was a good game, and I've just been watching them kind of on the sideline. But hopefully we can actually go to a lot more games this season because I just love AAA ball. It's so much fun, and you get to watch all these players. I mean, we would always go when the Knights were in town. So we've seen, like, the likes of Giolito, Kopech, Moncada. Like, we've seen all of them in their AAA days. Or even just rehabbing. So it's a good deal. You guys should all go to more minor league games.
I'm actually going to go down to Indy for a 3-game. My buddy lives down there, and I plan on checking that out probably, I think, by the August. And so thanks to Tiger Minor League Report fans. We had a fan of ours who started a Patreon for us to give us gas money to travel and everything. And I'm so grateful that we have a core of fans that are just like, hey, because we have people on our Patreon, or we have a Patreon too. But in addition to that, we have a Discord channel where Tiger fans just chill. It's a version of Twitter without all the lame BS that comes with it. Just people talking baseball and everything. So, but yeah, that's one of the things about the minor leagues, is that be able to go out to Erie, going out to West Michigan, and then going out to Lakeland too. It's such a great experience. It really is.
Well, you'll have to tell me when you are in town, and I will come out and join you.
Awesome.
Just like Detroit.
Yeah. All right.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on. I just want to give you the opportunity to plug your socials and remind people what you do and where they can find you, because you are a very quality follow. We always have so much fun back and forth.
Well, thank you. So you can follow me on Twitter at RajCastBaseball. And I have quite a bit of White Sox fans that I interact with anyways, because based off you being on our podcast and just, again, talk. I just love talking baseball. So you can find me on there. You can find me at TigersMLReport.com. Our YouTube channel, Tigers Minor League Report. Subscribe there. We do a show every Sunday at 9:30, recapping the week before. And Motor City Metrics, which is we were under Woodward Tigers, but we started our own thing. Follow their MCM Metrics Baseball, I think. I'm not 100% about that. Or subscribe to our channel on YouTube, Motor City Metrics Baseball. And both our channels are over 1,000 people. So, again, thank you for people who have come out. And Crystal, thank you again for letting me talk some White Sox, too, because, I could talk baseball all day. You know, in terms of we've talked about music before as well, but it's nice to – It's nice not to host and produce, you know, like to be a guest, you know, like it's a nice change of pace.
Yes, this has been, I love this podcast, but it has definitely been an undertaking when I'm, you know, doing this all season, but it's fun. I love it, but I get where you're coming from. All right. Well, again, please go follow my dearest friend, go to some minor league games. And yeah, go follow him, because I'm sure there will be more Crystal and maybe even Janice appearances on different podcasts. So, yeah. All right. Well, thank you again so much. and best of luck.
You too, Crystal. Thank you so much.
Yep.